Children's Church. If you have their tickets as a parent, I'm getting ready to pass out a gift, and maybe they'll win one of these or win this gift today. But it's a great day to be alive. Amen. And I love all the Christmas music. You know, one of the great things about celebrating the goodness of God is we sing Christmas music every week all year long, right? Amen. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you didn't get into any fights on Black Friday this past Friday at the mall or anything. We're so grateful and glad that you're here celebrating the goodness of God with us. And I look forward to this Christmas. Can you believe Christmas is upon us? That we're coming to the end of this year already? And one of the things that we do every year here at Bear Creek is during the whole month of December, we give just sort of a silly gift away each week. And I've tried all kinds of different ways of giving this gift away. One time I made a paper airplane, I threw it out, it hit somebody in the eye. And so I've chosen to just settle for passing out tickets, all right? And it's probably one of the safest ways of doing it. And so I'm gonna have, let's see, Karina, why don't you come up? And Karina, if you pull your own ticket, you still win, okay? But Karina's going to pull our ticket today. And the number is, let's see, the last four digits is 5813, 5813. Anybody? All right, come on up here, Casey. Casey, you're going to love this. And your grandkids are going to love this. So, oh, it's Emmy's. Okay. We got to open it. All right. So, Emmy got headbands. Anybody have this game at home? This is the greatest game. I mean, it takes us. A typical family can get through headbands in like maybe 30 minutes. It takes us like 4 hours. So anyway, good job, Casey. Good job, Emma. Amen. Well, you know, we're going to start this new series. We're going to be talking about hope, the message series this month as we, and we'll conclude this message series on Christmas Eve, and I hope you'll be here for our special Christmas Eve service. But it's called Then Hope Came. You know, if we were to come up with a word to describe Christmas, many people would use the word Jesus, right? That would be a good one. Joy, love, peace. Well, what we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks is hope, this word hope. And what this means. Christmas is the birth of hope. The birth of Christ is the birth of hope. And maybe today you are struggling to find hope. Maybe this is you're just in this season right now of just sort of being frustrated. Maybe you're struggling with something in your own life. But you've come to the right place because today we're going to talk about hope. Hope through our circumstances. Maybe you've lost a loved one, and this is a difficult time of the year for you. Look, there's hope, and we all need it. And if you want to know really what fuels me as a pastor, what fuels me are messages of hope. For example, when someone comes to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is a message of hope. And that really fuels me. Baptisms fuel me. I remember on, we've had several great just Wednesday nights with our life group, and just some of the things that people have shared, I'll go home and I'll just be filled with hope, knowing that there's hope for our people, there's hope for our church, there's hope for our city and our nation, and you know, at the food ministry this past week, we had about 300 people come here to Bear Creek. We had a line that was stretched around the parking lot and got to pray with people and talk with people. There was one woman Her name was Carrie, and be praying for Carrie. Carrie was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and she was very emotional that day. And I ran over and I got Kelly Holtzhauser, which is one of our members. And Kelly has just made it through cancer. She is a cancer conqueror. I don't even call it survivor. I just say conqueror. She beat cancer. And I wanted to bring Kelly to meet Carrie because I wanted Carrie to hear a message of hope and to see a picture of hope. And so we prayed. And again, if you'll just be praying for her. But one of the things that I love is a testimony, is someone that shares a testimony of God's hope. And so I asked a couple to come today and share with us a testimony of how God has shown them hope. So I'll ask the Wilsons to come up for us. He'll get it. Great testimony. I'll tell you, whenever I see this couple, I'm seeing hope. I'm seeing hope for us all. They've inspired me. In so many ways, and that's why I wanted them to share. You know, the world is crying out, somebody somewhere out there, give us hope. We need hope. And let's just take a look at some scripture. We've only got a little bit of time, but let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And what's happening at the beginning of Romans chapter 5 is Paul's explaining, he's explaining what he is talking about from Romans chapter 4. And in particular, verse 25, chapter 4, verse 25, you'll see it here on the screen. This is what he says. He tells us, he says, and he's speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And delivered up for our trespasses means that he was crucified. He was delivered up to be crucified for our sins. And then he says this. He says he was raised, maybe we could call it resurrected, right, for our justification. And what does he even mean when he says justification? Well, we're going to need to know that as we kind of look at this message of hope that he begins to talk about here in a minute. But it's an important question. One thing that we need to know for certain is that there is hope for the entire world in Christ. He is the only hope, and he is where we find hope. Justification means to make things right. It's probably a good way of just explaining it. And it means you cannot stand one day, maybe at the point of death, right? You cannot stand before God one day righteous. You can't stand before him perfect unless you are made right. And so what Jesus does when he comes to this earth, when he is crucified, as Paul said in chapter 4, verse 25, when he is resurrected, what he does through that is he makes things right for us. He gives us a way. He sort of opens a way that there was no way before. And this is important as we talk about hope. And listen, this is the good news. It's the good news of great joy, is that we find hope in Christ and justification. It introduces the hope, this hope, to the entire world. It's why the birth of Christ that we talk about this year, every year at Christmas time, is such a big deal. our justification is not just a guarantee of heaven, but it's a guarantee of new life. It's a guarantee that you can experience the joy of living here and now and forevermore. Amen? And so in chapter 5, verse 1, listen to what he says. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have been justified by faith. We have been made right by way of faith. And it's not automatic. Now we know that Jesus, he dies on the cross, he's resurrected from the dead, and through that, we are made right with God, but it's not automatic. It's by way of faith. We see this in chapter 5, verse 1. It's you making a conscious decision to put your faith in the person and works of Jesus Christ. And so, let me ask you a question. Where is your faith? It's a good place to start as we start off this month talking about hope. Does it rest on your own ideas? Does it? Are you putting your faith in maybe your amazing intellect? Are you putting your faith in maybe science? Are you putting your faith in something that this world has to offer? Where is your faith? It's not that you won't give faith, you won't put faith on something, okay? Because you always, your faith will always be drawn to something. Is your faith in him, or is your faith in all these other things? Because that's something that we have to settle. Faith is absolutely essential to your justification, to you being made right before God, you personally being made right before a holy God. You see, and you hear me say this all the time, but none of us are perfect. I think we can come to that understanding, right? And God only lets perfect people into heaven. And because I'm not perfect and neither are you, God has to make a way. And he makes that way through Jesus Christ, through the birth of this child, through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. You can be made right, justified, justification, okay? So he says in verse 1, he tells us, we are made right with God when we put our faith in the person and works of Jesus. This is the promise of God. In fact, he says in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's pretty clear when you look at this that you can have peace with God. You can be made right with God through faith. And so to just begin with, this is established by Jesus, and he has made a way. But you come to him in faith. It is not automatic, okay? You come to him in faith. Verse 2, he says this, through him we also obtain access by faith. Here's faith again. It's this grace in which we stand. So we have access. We have access to what? We have access to God, to his grace. We have access that we've never had before. We've never had that access to our Creator. We've never had that access to this power. We've never had this kind of access to God's grace before. But now we have access. See, before we were enemies of God, and Paul goes on in chapter 5 to talk about this. But before, we stood as enemies against God. But now, we are justified. We are made right with him. And we have access to him. Look at the end of verse 2. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in hope because we are made right with God through our faith in Christ. This is a promise of God, a promise that he makes. We can either have faith in that, or we can go our own way. And let's look at this word faith. I'm gonna show a picture of a guy on the screen here. His name is Terry Waite. And this guy's amazing. I read his story about 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to share it tonight, or this morning. He is a Christian humanitarian. who went to Lebanon in 1987 to make an appeal to have four hostages freed. But the meeting was just all a big setup. And as soon as he got there, they captured him. And they held him captive for 4 years. And he endured 4 years of cruelty and interrogation and isolation and torture. And so he talks about how his torturers would just try to break his spirit. And he says, little did they know, my hope rests in the Lord Jesus, not them. So one night, after just hours of interrogation and just physical abuse by his captors, he makes this statement to them. He tells his captors, you can take my life physically, but my soul is not yours to possess. My soul lay in the hands of God and can be taken by no man. See, no one can say that unless they have hope in Christ. And Terry had hope in Christ. And his hope was like this, it was like this anchor. And because it rested in something that transcends anything that this world can throw at him. And this is what I want to get at, is this kind of hope, biblical hope, Jesus kind of hope, Christ-centered hope, is a hope that transcends beyond anything that this world can throw at us. Our hope is in him. It rests in him. And it's interesting, when we ask this question, what is hope? When we look at these words in the Greek and in the Hebrew in the Bible, both of them depict this word that means certainty. And so it's not like this wishful thinking that sometimes we use hope. You know, we're just wishing that something would take place. It's kind of like, you know, I hope that the Dallas Cowboys win this week, okay? Wishful thinking, right? We're just wishing. We're wishing and we're hoping, okay? That's not the hope that we see here in Scripture. The hope that we see here in the Scripture, it's an anchor. And hope is living with certainty. It's this confidence, this confident assurance, this certainty of what's to come. R.C. Sproul, he says this, hope is not taking a deep breath and hoping things are going to turn out the way we want them. It is assurance that God is going to do what he says he will do. Living as we trust in the promises of God, that is hope. And listen, our hope is certain when we put our hope in Christ. It is certain. So Paul, he says here in verse 2, we rejoice in that hope. That's the kind of hope we rejoice in. Why? Because it transcends anything that this world can throw at us. And so in the manger on Christmas Day lie a baby, and it was the birth of hope for all mankind. And imagine this, you're planning to take a sailboat, let's say to South America, all right? And on this journey, there's this storm, and your boat capsizes, and you end up in the water, and you're just floating around out there with your life vest, and 1,000 miles that way and 1,000 miles that way, there is nothing but water, nothing but ocean. And there you are, just sort of floating out there. And then about a day later, an airplane flies by and drops a little note. And the note just says, don't worry, we're going to come back for you. Be at peace. I think if we were in that kind of situation, our despair would begin to lift, and then we would begin to see hope. And I want you to just capture that moment of being in that kind of place of despair, because I'll tell you, I've known lots of people that have been in places like that, in that kind of place of despair, where they don't think that there's any hope out there. But God, he drops this note. He drops this note. It's right here. He drops this note from heaven. And he says, I'll come back for you. And I'll take you to where I am, Jesus says. And that where I am, you will also be. And he gives us hope. And he gives us the kind of hope that transcends anything that this world can throw at us. So we rejoice in this hope. We're not anchored to this world. We're anchored to this hope that we find in Christ. And it's a certainty. It's a certainty. For every believer in this room, it is a certainty. It's not a wish. It's a certainty. Look what he says in verse 3. Not only that, he's talking about rejoicing in hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Listen to this. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. So he says, we rejoice in suffering. Well, how? Why? How could we possibly rejoice in suffering? Again, it's not a hope that's found in this world. It's a hope that transcends this world. It's beyond this world, and it moves us into a different way of life on earth. And it moves us to a different way of thinking on earth. And it moves us to a different perspective of our suffering, a different perspective of the things that we go through, because our hope rests in him, and we know that our Savior will save us in the end. It's where even our suffering moves us towards greater hope. And for those who are in Christ, their suffering produces endurance. And you know, I'll tell you, before Christ, I struggled to endure hardship. I was more apt to quit during hardship. But now, today, being in Christ, my suffering prompts me to live out my faith in a real authentic way. And what does that mean? Well, God reminds me through his Holy Spirit, he reminds me that there's a greater hope. And he lifts me out of my situation. He shows me how small these matters of the world are and how great he is and how great of hope I have as I live out my life on this earth, this little temporary earth that I live, and I try to make such a big deal about what's going on here on this earth. This is not a big deal. Okay. He's a big deal. Our eternal home is a big deal. And so he begins to do things like that, and he begins to change me, and it's not in my own strength. This is the cool thing. It's in his strength, and it's in his power. Look what he says in verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame. Your version might say, hope does not disappoint, okay? It does not disappoint. Why? Because it's certain. It's certain. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In your version, again, it might say disappointed. Hope does not disappoint. And you might be here today and you might be saying things like, well, Scott, my life is filled with constant disappointment. Let me ask you something. Where does your hope rest? Ultimately, where does your hope rest? You can by allowing the suffering to produce endurance, you can endure and let that lead you to a more godly character that produces the kind of hope that God talks about in his word. This kind of hope, it's an anchor. It's certain. It's like being stranded out at sea and you get a message from your rescuer that they're coming soon. So we find peace in this kind of hope. And I like how he puts this. He says, because it says, hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have been given a Holy Spirit. And it's in his strength. It's in his power. It's in his guidance. He guides us. He guides us and teaches us how to endure. He teaches us how to live beyond this world. It's a kind of faith that we don't see as often anymore. I find so many in the church today that are so wrapped up in all of the concerns of the world. This is a hope that transcends the concerns and the struggles and the sufferings that we experience in this world. Look at verse 5 again. Because God's love, it's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into your heart. You have received his Holy Spirit. He has empowered you. He will guide you. So let me ask you a question. Where is your faith? That's question number one. We talked about that at the beginning. And where is your hope? Where is your certainty? My hope and my prayer is that it is in Christ, that he is the anchor of your soul. Lots of decisions to make. Will you trust him? Will you trust him today? I want you to look at the screen. This is just one point I want to leave with you today about hope. Hope is living with certainty in the promises of God. Living with certainty in the promises of God. Let's pray. Lord, give us hope today. And Lord, I pray for that person that's just struggling with so much disappointment. This Christmas season, Lord, give them the gift of hope. Help them to know that they can put their assurance and their certainty in the promises of God, that they can put their hope in Christ. We give you thanks today. We're so grateful to be alive, Lord. We're so encouraged by your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.